side of the table and I didn't see any signs that said gluten-free. So I went. And then after I already drank my tea, I walked to the other side and I saw the sign. So, oh well, whoever makes this gluten-free stuff, thank you very much for doing that, because it allows us to celiacs to partake of that. So, and Matt, thank you for this morning. You gave me my message title for next week. So be here next week and find out what that is, right? Little advertisement. Praise the Lord for the rain. Ken, I bet you were happy. You haven't got much rain up there, have you? Yeah, that's good. I think we've had like 60 mil in Port Macquarie in the last week. Well, I think that's why they call Port Macquarie God's country. So. Good to have Christine and Yurik with us today. And Heidi, nice to have you. Most of the time when we think of the words of Jesus, we always come up with the good things like, I will never leave you or forsake you. That's an important one to me. He also says, no one will be able to take you out of my Father's hands. He is mightier than all. And I go, praise the Lord. I like that one. My favorite is if he says, if I go, I will come again and I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you'll be also. And I went, surely come quickly, Lord Jesus. Let's get this thing on. Let's start eternity and enjoy. Only problem about it is, a lot of people's not going to get in. And here's your opportunity to get in. All right? Because the Lord could return real quickly. We don't know. It could be before I get home. Could, who knows? So I would love to think that everybody who's here today, right now, would have made a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ to when the Lord returns, you'll be caught up with him and we'll walk on streets of gold and enjoy a conversation for a million years and a half. If you don't believe it, try it. So I'd like to have everybody here to get in. What's some of your favorite phrases that Jesus has said? Opposite from the body, be present with the Lord. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And Matt read that one this morning. Oh, yeah. If we're not ashamed of him, we speak before people, then he won't be ashamed of us. Yes. I and my Father are one. Well, we could go on and on and on, couldn't we? But these are the things that we think about when we think about Jesus. But today, what I want to do is look at some phrases that Jesus said that made the people who were contemporary of his walking around with him, that made them scratch their head. Matter of fact, some of them even hated him because of what he said. So let's just be real. We're going to look at a story that we all know from very human eyes. Here's some phrases that Jesus said. Except you repent, you will likewise perish. Not very encouraging, but no less true. Speaking to the religious leaders of the day, he said, you are of your father, the devil. That's not how you win friends and influence people. So it's no wonder that the Pharisees hated him because he kept exposing their hypocrisy. Here's another one. And if you just imagine yourself, you were standing here with Jesus. You were an onlooker. You were listening. And Jesus looks up. He's standing next to the temple and he says, tear down this temple and I will build it back in 3 days. And you knew it took years and years and years and years and years to build the temple. And Jesus said, you tear it down, I'll build it back in 3 days. And I'm sure some people said, this guy is off his rocker. Well, let's just be real. I'm not being sacrilegious, but imagine you're walking with Jesus. He makes these outlandish comments and you've got to respond somehow. It's no wonder some people went, not sure about this. And then he made this comment, which cost him a lot of followers. It says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you cannot be my disciple. Ooh. Well, it's at that time a lot of people turned and quit following him. But Jesus was making these comments. It's no wonder some people hated him and some people loved him. But you see, you and I have the benefit of looking back across history. We know the story. We know the end of the story. We know the promises. So we can accept some of the things that he said that doesn't sit too easy with us. But there is that group of people who even said, this guy has a demon. Let me tell you the story. Shortly after Jesus had made that comment we talked about a couple of weeks ago, my sheep hear my voice, they know me, they follow me, those things like that. He made a comment that got a lot of people scratching their head. He said, I have the power to take my life and lay it down, and I can pick it up again. Now, let me ask you a question from an analytical viewpoint. What person has the capability to lay their life down and pick it up willy-nilly? No one can do that. So you can imagine why some people would look at him and say, this guy is a nut. He's a demon. Why are you listening to him? That was the question. Read your Bible. It's there. They were asking these questions. So what do you think of him? Considering everything that he said, and if you have some questions, that's okay. That's all right. Thing about it is, you've got a decision to make. And Jesus, the next thing he does, gives you some insight on who he is. So before you make your decision, let's look at this next story. Go with me to John chapter 11. John 11, let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you that Jesus did say things that would make people think. He was not afraid of that. But he wanted people to give an honest evaluation of who he was. He wanted them to hear his voice and to see his works, then decide. So today we're going to look at one of his works. And I pray that everybody that's here today will then make a choice who he is. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. John 11, verses 1 through 3. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. Before I go on any further, do anybody know what the story is? Forget it. Forget the story. What I want you to do is somewhat, you're an onlooker. You're standing there. You don't know what he's going to do. You're just watching. And you're going to have to make a decision. So the best you can, reach in, pull that story of Lazarus out, and just follow with us, just as this is the first time you've seen this. All right? Can you do that? Ready? Turn it. Got it? Good. Now, verse 2, it was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, the sister sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. Oh no, Lazarus is sick. Hey everybody, let's just take off. Let's go real quick, go back and heal Lazarus to where he's not going to die. No, that's not how he responded. He didn't respond like you and I would. Verse 6, so when he heard, this is Jesus, so when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. You can almost hear people saying, Jesus, what are you thinking? Your friend, this guy you love, Lazarus, he's about to die and you stand here for 2 days? What's going on? You see how straightforward I want to be with this? Jesus doesn't do things the way we expect. He has his own agenda. He has his own way of doing things. But then Jesus, all right, so he waits 2 more days. And then in verse 8, the disciples said to him, Rabbi, I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. Jesus stays there 2 more days. And then he says, let's go. And the disciple says to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you and you're wanting to go there. So Jesus has a warning now. You want to go back to this place and the Pharisees, they want to kill you. Jesus, do you really want to do that? What would you do if you were under the threat of your life? Don't go. But you see, Jesus doesn't do things the way we do. He has his agenda. He's sold out for what he's trying to do. Verse 11 through 14. These things he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. Then the disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought he was speaking about taking a rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to him plainly, Lazarus is dead. You see, in the scripture, sometimes a person is made reference to that they're sleeping when actually they are dead, just to where you can get the translation. But Lazarus is dead. Let's just be a little critical just a second. Why wouldn't he be, Jesus? You heard he was sick and then you lollygagged over here for 2 more days. What's going on, Jesus? Can you feel the angst that some people might have been feeling? Let's not be super spiritual here. Let's follow with the story. You'd be wondering, is this guy for real or is he a phony? Then Jesus makes this comment, verse 15, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Jesus, you're glad that Lazarus died? The disciples, I can just see them going, And he said, and I'm glad for your sakes I wasn't there. Why? So you might learn something. What's he going to do? Remember, you don't know what he's going to do. So the disciples are going, what's going to happen? Then Thomas makes some kind of an outlandish comment. Verse 16, then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us all go that we may die with him. Now, he was making some kind of a comment. As far as I'm concerned, it didn't work. So we'll just move on, all right? I guess he figures they're all going to die. Well, how noble, but oh well. Verse 17, so when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, what's the problem? What's that? Yeah, it's not the point I'm trying to make. This is not theological. This is very practical. Yeah, there's a little bit of stink going on. They don't have the technology then that we have today. He's been in the tomb for 4 days and, well, you know the story. You know what might be wrong. Verse number 20. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, listen to what she says, Lord, If you had been here, my brother would not have died. She knew that Jesus could have healed Lazarus. And if Lazarus dies, in those day and ages, you don't have welfare. You don't have the government to lean on. If you don't have a breadwinner, you have nothing. So these girls are thrown into poverty because Lazarus dies. And Martha comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, if you had only been here, my brother wouldn't have died. So do you see that tension she has? But then, verse 22, but she didn't give up hope. She says, but even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give it to you. Hopeless, it seems, but she had some hope that Jesus would do something. And then Jesus says in verse 23, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again at the resurrection. All right. So Martha knew about the resurrection. She knew that in one day her brother was going to come back in the resurrection. Well, isn't that wonderful? But what's that going to do for her now? It's not going to help her out of her situation right now. Are you feeling the tension? Then Jesus says something to her, and listen very closely, verse 25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And then listen to the personal challenge. Do you believe this? Not only did he do a little bit of teaching, but he gave a personal challenge. Oh, I'm the resurrection. It doesn't matter if you die. If you believe in me, you're going to rise again. You're going to live forever. Martha, do you believe this? Can I bring this question to you? Do you believe it? There may be a few people here that's uncertain about that. Hang on. You're going to have a choice to make, an opportunity to make a decision. Martha has the right answer. Verse 27, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. So Martha believes, and because she believes, that opens a door for opportunity. God does wonderful things for people who believe. Let me say it again. God does wonderful things for people who believe. Do we have any believers here? Say it again. Amen. Oh, boy, that's just sounding good. Sounding good. Verse 32. Then when Mary came where Jesus was. Well, anyway, let me back up a little bit. Martha runs and tells Mary, says, Mary, Jesus is calling for you. I didn't see that in the Bible, but she told her that anyway. And then verse 32, then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, here we go again. If you had not been here, my brother would not have died. Somebody else complaining. But remember, Mary and Martha were pretty much without hope. And when Martha and Mary both come to Jesus, they needle him. If you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. It's almost like saying, why did you wait 2 days to get here? They were heartbroken. But something I want you to keep in mind. God is not on our schedule. You ever prayed that the Lord do something and it seems like he hesitated? I guess I should say this. You ever prayed for something and God didn't hesitate? Most of the time, he doesn't work according to our schedule. I know how I am. When I ask for something, I'm kind of wanting it now, you know? Anybody like that? Thank you for being honest. Patience is not my strong. See, I'm learning. Let's go on with the story. Verse 33, therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. And then the Jews said, see how he loved him. Jesus could feel their pain, and he cried. Gentlemen, may I speak to you for just a second? This is proof that real men cry. Don't give me this cultural thing that real men don't cry. That's as far from the scriptures as you can possibly get. If Jesus cried, it's good enough for me. Real men cry. But then comes some more criticism. Look at verse 37. And some of them said, this is the people standing around, some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? So he catches it from Martha. He catches it from Mary. He catches it from people standing around. Everybody is reminding him that he wasn't on their schedule. If he had done things according to what they wanted, this man would still be alive. But Jesus doesn't go according to our schedule. Verse 38, then Jesus again groaned in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone laid against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there's a stink. I think the Bible says stench, but East Tennessee is stink, sorry. For he's been dead for 4 days. Martha, Martha, Martha. Yes, there might be a smell. But did you not get it a few minutes ago? Jesus has already given the answer. Verse 40, Jesus says, did I not say to you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? Martha, forget what you expect. Martha, you're standing with me. I'm about to do something here, Martha. Do you believe? Now, everybody turn to me here. Jesus is standing here at the tomb. He says, remove the door. If you were a bystander, what would you do? And just take stepping back. You are the disciples. Say you're the disciples. You've been following this guy for a while. And Jesus says, move the stone. The disciples probably went. Remember, you don't know what he's going to do. Verse 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was laying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. I'm sure it got quiet. Jesus has the attention of everybody there. The stone's been removed. People are holding their breath. And then Jesus real loudly screams, Lazarus, come forth! And I'm sure the disciples went, did he say that? Well, what did he say? Are you sure he said that? Jesus, you're either crazy or you're something special. Jesus, did you say that? Verse 44, and he who had died came out bound, hand and foot with the grave's cloths, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." I can just imagine the scene. Everybody standing there. And this Lazarus comes out. And it got as quiet as it is right now. And Jesus says, "Loose him and let him go." Now, what do you think of Jesus? Is he crazy? No. Does he have a demon? No, demons can't raise the dead. Then who is he? The Son of God. Never, ever, ever let there be any question in your mind who this man is. He doesn't need any further evidence. He has just proved it beyond any question. He is the Son of God, and everything he says is from God, and it cannot be changed. So what do you believe of him now? It's quite interesting. You remember the people that were standing around that was complaining? Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind could have healed this man to keep him from dying? Well, the scripture says in the next verse, it says that those Jews that came to visit with Mary, some of them believed because they saw the things he did. Now you've seen the things he did. Will you believe? Please bow your head. With no one looking around, all eyes closed. If you have chosen to believe by faith in Jesus Christ and you have invited him to be the Lord of your life, I would invite you to raise your hand just a second and acknowledge, yes, I believe in him. Is there anybody here that's believing in Jesus? Thank you. You can put your hands down. My hand goes up too. Perhaps you're here today and you haven't made that choice to believe in Jesus. You've been standing on the line, sitting on the fence. Perhaps you've been waiting for that right opportunity to make that call because you really weren't sure who Jesus was. He just now has shown you who he is. There should now be no further doubt who we're dealing with. He is the Son of God. Now may I invite you to trust him. If you would choose to say, "I'm going to trust Jesus today. Pastor Tony, I'm going to trust Jesus today." Would you just slip your hand up real quick and put it back down? Would there be anybody? Thank you. Thank you. Is there anyone else? I choose today to trust Jesus. Anyone? Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you for the clarity of who Jesus is. We have no reason to doubt. I know in the world that we live, people either love him, but the vast majority hate him. Father, it's a difficult world to maintain faith, but when we know and believe the things that we have seen and read, Father, we choose to hold on to that faith all the way into heaven. And help us to shine the light of Jesus in a very dark world. Perhaps there are those today who are in our congregation who have not made that decision. Father, I pray that today they will make the decision to follow Jesus to where when he does return, we'll all go up together and meet him in the air. And we will forever be with him. For those that need to make a decision, Lord, I pray that today will be the day they'll make the decision to trust Jesus. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand. And in keeping with what we've done, we looked at a story of Jesus. Let's just sing that song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And as we look on him, let's live for him. Amen. Amen. Have a great week.